Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
There's gold fever on the streets of St. Paul.
A billion-dollar con.
We finally hit the big time.
A jackpot.
There was no sign of anything that was amiss.
Everybody wanted to get rich.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Would you please give it up for the Prime Minister of Denmark?
This is the former Danish Prime Minister, Lars Løkke Rasmussen, speaking at an event in 2018.
You come from all over the world, bringing skills that belong to a select few. Incredible speech, great teamwork, hardcore dedication.
Athletes across the world had gathered for the final in this huge sporting event.
You have been training for years and years to be here. And along the way, you probably had to explain yourself more than once, convincing people that you were not wasting your time. But now I hope your explaining days are over, because you are sportsmen. You are truly sportsmen.
He could be talking at the final of a football, rugby or even basketball tournament, but you know, he's not. He's actually talking about eSport.
These are your Intel Extreme Masters finalists. A best of five on this stage, in this cathedral, to see who is the champion and who is the best in the world at Counter-Strike. Are we ready? Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Let's get it on!
Oh, just calm down, OJ. But that is me, OJ Borge, a radio and TV presenter, and I'm also a sports host, including hosting esports events around the world. I've been lucky enough to travel across the globe and see the way that esports is viewed and celebrated in different countries and cultures, but there's always been one place that's always stood out.
I think it's just that spirit of community and togetherness that allows it to thrive as an esport.
I think they're macaguing great on focusing on esports. I think it's great for the community, I think it's great for the country, I think it's just amazing.
This is Denmark's esports revolution from the BBC World Service. What is esports? In its simplest explanation, it is competitive gaming, where a team of players battle against each other, not on a pitch or a court, but in the world of video games. There's tournaments worldwide, and stars like former England footballer David Beckham and former NBA star Shaquille O'Neal have launched their own teams to become a part of this mass growth. Danish people and their government, they've been embracing the world of esports, and it's become, incredibly interesting just to see how popular it's become in a relatively short period of time. They're exceeding in the game franchises of Counter-Strike and League of Legends, and like traditional sports in general, not all esports are the same. In a recent study, the Media Council found that 92% of all under-18s in Denmark play video games. Which makes me think, what are you other 8% doing? In my own experiences of esports and hosting, there is a player that I've got to know over the years who has been a big part of that change and celebration of esports. I wanted to find out more, so one of the first people I wanted to speak to was Peter Rasmussen, known as Dupree in the esports professional world, and he is one of the biggest and most successful names in not just Danish esports, but esports full stop. All right, cool. Are we recording? Dupree, I'm going to start with a bit of Danish. I'm going to try it. Tak for de du tog dig tid til at chat med os.
Yeah, dear, you're welcome.
Was that even close to being right?
I mean, in, you know, obviously I had to focus a little bit to understand it, but like in general, I would understand it, and you'd basically said that thank you for taking your time to chat with us.
I wanted to know how it all began and how a boy from Denmark decided that he could make this his career.
I don't think I ever told them that, mom and dad, I want to compete and become the best in this game. Well, when I finished school, I wanted to just like focus on this and continue doing it. And it was tough for my family, to be honest. But in the end, I assured them that this is what I wanted. And I made the comparison to traditional sports. In this case, it was football, and said, you guys would probably support me if this was football. Why are you not supporting me just because it's a video game?
And one of the things that I really wanted to speak to Dupree about was his time setting up a team that, you know, if we're going to be frank about it, changed the landscape of esports. In your own words, how did Astralis come about? What was the first you knew about it? Why did you want to be such a big part of it?
We wanted to have the possibility to have influence on our own team, and I think that is what we tried to do in Astralis. So and then we had this philosophy about changing the way that people saw esports in Denmark, especially the way that, yeah, of course, I mean, it does evolve, involve computers and sitting a lot, and maybe not having a lot of physical aspects to it, but we wanted to take all the good things from traditional sports and combine them with what we had in esports, and to make it into something that's what's unique. And we wanted to combine both, kind of best of all worlds.
How important was that for you to change the perspective?
It was very important.
Astralis was a team that took esports and gamers seriously right from the start. They embraced the values and the training routines of other sports and turned that reputation, unfairly sometimes, of what some would expect from a professional video gamer on its head by introducing strict routines and training of the like you'd expect to see in more physical traditional sports. And now, if you head to a city at the same time as an esports tournament is happening, you would struggle to differentiate the crowd and that atmosphere to any major sports tournament across the globe. Don't believe me? Listen to this.
But the thing is, there's 16,000 people in there, all screaming, all chanting, we're all here for the same thing. Come from all over the world. You don't really get this anywhere else.
It's very special. The atmosphere is... It's hard to compare it to any sports event that I've been to.
You don't feel it when you watch on Twitch or anything.
It's like being at a football arena. You know, it's...
But better.
Yeah, it's different
yeah,
from...
It's the same atmosphere.
It's different than watching football on television than being on the arena. It's much better atmosphere. It's better noise. It's...
The vibe's good.
It's better vibes, yeah. Basically.
It's March and a lively, bustling Copenhagen, and here you will find people from across the world. They have travelled to see their favourite esport athletes take to the stage as they play in the final of a Counter-Strike tournament, an esport Denmark are leading in. With 13,000 noisily filling the Royal Arena and millions more watching online, and importantly watching on Danish television, it's taken over the city. And it's fair to say that the fans travelling here are impressed with the way Denmark are handling things.
In Brazil, we have like a little few access to esports. It's so much expensive to our bases being like having a computer to even know the game, you know. And in Denmark, it's way more accessible. People are way more educated about it.
It's socially accepted. And that's a big thing, because in Germany it's a whole different, because there you got like a stigmata when you're a player or you're a gamer, and that's really, really bad for the esports as well. I'm kind of jealous to see what's happening in Denmark and how it's accepted as a whole.
These schools opens up a whole new world for not just women, but people that want to get into it in general.
They develop it from a young age. They get interested and indoctrinated into the Counter-Strike scene. Whereas in Norway, it's not really known, and it's in the general public often looked down on to play video games that much.
After it went on national TV and all that, and people were seeing, okay, Astralis, Heroic, big Danish teams. After that, it kind of was easier for people to accept it. And now we also have like colleges where you can have esports, also broad schools, and also small town clubs where you can play esports. So it's getting bigger and bigger.
That is a very good point about schools. As somebody who has two daughters growing up in the UK, video games, as much as I want them to be, isn't something I'd expect to see on their curriculum. But what about here in Denmark?
All right. Up here on the third floor, we have more classrooms, and there they will be having math, I can see. Over here, we have the principal's office, and over here, they will be having history, I can see. Just down here, we have our esports room, where we do the training.
Here in Copenhagen is a public high school. It's called KNH SYD South, and it has implemented esports training as part of their curriculum. Andreas Moulton teaches history most of the day, but He is also the project manager here and works on the esports and games program.
So we started this program in 2016, thinking that a lot of young people with the interest of computer games and esports really had a hard time sort of fitting that together with school and education. So we thought that there had to be some kind of target group for that. And so if we could create an opportunity or a program for those kids to actually finish an education by using their interest as a positive means, actually, in their way of completing an education, that would be interesting. We didn't know how many really had that interest, but when we opened up in 2016, we had about 60 students actually applying and starting that summer. And that was when we realized that there was a lot of potential in this. And as we sort of went along, we also realized that these students are, well, first of all, much more than just gamers. They are young people. And by building on their skills and interest in this field, that we can empower these young people by teaching them that they have these skills, really, and how to put them into use and in an educational context.
This teaching is being considered by other countries too. This school, Copenhagen South, well, they are currently part of a project which is being funded by the EU through Erasmus+. They're working with other partners to create a blueprint for educational programs like theirs.
Today is going to be about communicating. And the easier thing is when you want to time a thing, and then you, let's say someone flashed at 2 minutes, and you have to write their time here. Let's say that you wrote that they flashed in 2 minutes, so that's 7 minutes, right? Then you write 7.
Well, that means that's when their flash will be up again.
Yeah, exactly. And then what I do is, after I've written it, I press Control A, because that marks everything. And then after I press Control A, I press Control C, that copies. And then you can do like this.
Yeah, normally I just ping the, spamming the flash.
The school employs coaches who work around students' schedules, ensuring it doesn't overwhelm them from their studies.
I have English, I have math, I have religion, I have social science, social science, and I have history. So I have all those subjects. Mondays and Tuesdays, I'm done at 4 and 3. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm done at 2. And after 2, I have esports until 4.
I kind of grew up with the computer culture, at least at like my after-school place. I would go there and there would be like computer rooms, and I'll play Counter-Strike, actually, like with a bunch of my friends. But I've definitely seen it evolve a lot. Like it, like now we can suddenly like do esports things like this, and it's kind of been more normalized, but it's still crazy to think about. It's crazy to think about this as like, oh yeah, this is just a regular thing they do. You get pretty good at doing fast mathematics, at least with Counter-Strike, with the economy system, because you constantly have to do deductions and stuff.
I also think you just get better at working together with people, you know.
But I also think it heavily depends on what motivates the student, right? Because this is of course like a high school, but like in Denmark, this is like between high school, college level. So for my, like, why we have the esports subject here is just to motivate players or students or to actually take like an education. So for me, of course, some people are motivated by actually becoming really good players, whilst others are motivated by the social atmosphere and the culture within gaming, right? I think it's more about the fact that how to plan and analyze and be self-critical, which I think is like obviously at a certain level of like school level, like you will need that, right? If you plan to study at like the university or whatever, like you will need to be able to be self-critical or analyze your own play.
Well, the students here have to be taught the same as every other student in high school, so they have to have the same subjects, and we have certain subjects within the subjects that we have to teach and they have to learn about. But the way we use esports and games is sort of adding another layer, and the way we go about teaching. For instance, it's easier to learn how to analyze a text if you
if you practice the ways, the methods of analyzing a text on a computer game first, because then you become confident in the way you do that.
And the students, well, they're eager to share the positive impacts that they felt from the program as well.
Before I used to play football, right? I was a football player, but then I kind of stopped playing football. It had to do something with my physical state and also my injuries. I was kind of like depressed that I couldn't enjoy everything, and gaming was that alternative for me. I play sometimes competitively, but competitiveness is not always my main goal. It's more about having fun, and you come here, you start talking to people, you start gaming, you enjoy gaming, and then when you communicate, it also opens you up a bit.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Press freedom. The reasons why it's under increasing pressure.
How the mass use of drones has changed the way the war is being fought.
The trends behind the fast-changing media landscape. The Explanation from the BBC World Service takes a deep dive into the big stories affecting our lives, giving you an honest, unvarnished explanation of the world. Search for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Growing up and going to school in the UK and being given time to play video games, I laugh at the ability that we'd have had that. I would have dreamt of doing that, not that we had computers to do it, although we did have Tank on one of them, which was very poor and very rubbish. I do find it amazing, though, now to see how things are changing and how they're adapting esports education to really benefit all areas of learning. There are 168 educational institutes that offer esports in Denmark, and they are mostly high schools. It is an incredible way for them to develop their gaming skills, but one of the main ways the next generation is developing in esports, well, that is through the grassroots groups that thrive here. Here in the town of Esbjerg, families have gathered in a public library. Why? Well, it is the reopening of an esports association group, and the ribbon-cutting ceremony is underway. The group is supported by the government, who provide the space, making the cost low and keeping it open to as many children as possible. It looks like the coolest library I've ever seen. The computers lined up in a darkened room so they can play. A viewing room so the parents can see what their kids are doing. And to foster that team spirit, everyone wearing matching team uniforms. It is pretty amazing. And to showcase that pride, well, wherever you look, you'll see a little Danish flag. This is Magnus Muller speaking now, who is the leader of the Esbjerg Esports Association.
Okay, so we are at the back of a public library, and we've got this room, only this room actually, because we were searching and the government needed to give us a room to be in. We got this because the library wanted to try, because they could see some benefits that the young people were here gaming and the library was just here, and they were like, yeah, let's do it, they said. So we're at the back of the library, where we can live rent-free. This is a forening in Denmark, which is a volunteer association. So just like a football club, but with no pro division. Only the core volunteer football club. There's nothing different between esports and footballs. Football in the government's eyes, like on how many money and support we get. And today was just one big celebration for all the kids. They could come down here and see tomorrow. We can be at our club.
He's been a part of this club for a couple of months. He's been changing from one school to another and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things in his life right now. He loves to play and he becomes better and he's a little bit more happy.
My strategy is to just play with my friends and get new friends and get the win.
There should be more focus, more money in this maybe, because it will become bigger. It's here for to stay.
And I think somehow Denmark has a long tradition of having these community around different kind of sports, scouts, football, badminton and everything. It's very, and a lot of volunteers going into it and putting a lot of efforts into it.
In Denmark, there are nearly 300 e-sport grassroots groups supported by the government. Now, to put that in context, that's more than athletics clubs or basketball groups in the country. From those arenas filled with megastars for the big tournaments to a group of young people playing in their spare time, this is a side of esports I think the majority of people just don't see. And in some ways, this is where it really matters. What I find remarkable about this, it's not just the esports they learn and play, but it's the stuff that will make them a better person. They learn about respect. They are taught to take regular breaks and exercise in between games. And importantly, they're taught about online safety and more. There is an isolation problem in Denmark at the moment. The non-profit company Alder Sagen reports that 1 in 5 young Danes experiences loneliness. Is this a way of providing a solution?
So, I mean, the future will be so much digital. We will be, everyone will be working at PCs, doing stuff from the internet. Look at all the social media. It's just, there'll be so much going on online. Yeah. And the kids that come down here, if we teach them how to behave online, they can make the world just a little bit better to see the happiness of the kids. It was also a try for myself, because if I made this a company, I had to, the expenses, and we can go bankrupt and stuff like that. But now I have the government who can like protect me from the back. A day like this, I mean, you cannot buy this. You cannot buy this happiness for money. To see how, I mean, I don't know, 100 parents and kids in the room just being so happy.
And of course he's also playing, you know, football, but this is just like football for us. So we are also, you know, going to the practice for football, going to tournaments in the weekend, but it's exactly the same in this with the esports, right? Because all of these skills that they get, all the cognitive skills that they get, is actually really, really good for them. But of course, sitting in a chair all day, that's not so good. So we have time limits for how long he's allowed to sit in front of the screen. Then he needs to have a break, go out, get some fresh air, walk around, play football, whatever. And then he's allowed to play again, right? So we see it very much as football when we were young, but we played a lot of video games ourselves, so it's not that distant from us.
It means the world, because he plays with all his friends, both here, and then he also plays football together. So he has two things going on. So it's very good.
The children that played together with him, it was at the same level. And then there was an adult that controlled how they have spoken to each other. Mm-hmm. They were not allowed to say mean things to each other. So they learned a good play culture.
And it's also a very big reason is then from a young age they are getting educated on the behavior online instead of, like you said, it's almost a wild, wild west. And now they are learning. Yeah.
My proudest moments, I have two. Mm-hmm. First of all, when we won the Danish championship in Valorant and we qualified for the World Championships, Red Bull Valorant Campus Clutch World Final in Brazil. I mean, we had to represent Denmark. We were the Danish national team. The stage was just as big as Royal Arena. People were cheering, shouting. It was a giant, giant event. And number two is actually today. I think my proudest moment was today.
Drenge, er der nogen af jer, der har spillet i lang tid? For jeg har to, der gerne vil prøve. Har vi to, der godt vil opgive? Ja, der er en dreng dernede, der rejser sig. Øj, det klapper. Hvor er du god?
I had two guys that wanted to play out there, and I couldn't find a place, so I just went in. I said, hey guys, I got two guys that want to play. Which one of you want to leave? And they did it by themselves. They said, hey, I'll do it for someone else. That's what they do in here. They help each other. They are here for each other. That's what they do.
Now, I think this is exactly what esports is all about. Of course, the possibilities of playing in arenas is alluring. The fame, the money, the crowd, the stage. But it's that accessible level which is really at its heart. And from what I've heard here, it really counters some of those negative, cliched connotations that people associate with gaming. Esports here is encouraging social skills and it's bringing children together rather than isolating them. I've heard from so many wonderful people whilst making this documentary. We've seen the incredible enthusiasm and drive which is making esports so successful in Denmark. Now, of course, nothing in life is without criticism, and esports has had its fair share. There's rightfully concerns about children and screens, the type of games and the content within them. Females, they're definitely underrepresented. But it is places like Espergaard and the high schools that are trying to counteract that criticism, well, by making it a community-driven sport for all. And whilst this is all still so relatively new, it's difficult to know which of the negative comments will prove to be correct, if any. The Danish industry body released a report suggesting the esport industry in Denmark can triple by 2030 if the correct support is put towards it. And as we've managed to get time with Dupree, he explained to us how in order to get that level of growth, esports need to continue to be supported from the very top. I think I've pretty much seen photos of you stood with the Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. What have they said to you, people in government? What have they said to you at times?
I mean, I think that's a great mix, you know, because sometimes it also feels like the government and like the politicians, they want to get into this world because they know there's a lot of votes to get as well. Like, you know, there is also a possibility that they can, you know, influence the youth, but also the parents that, hey, these guys think it's cool to play computer games, you know. But at the same time, they have also come to the conclusion that esports is something that is really big for them, and that we have some really strong athletes, and it's also a good way for the athletes to showcase what Denmark has and you know, represent Denmark in that sense. And I think they also put a lot of effort into that one. But I mean, it's been nice meeting these people and we've had some really good talks. I still think there's a lot more that they could do to make it even better, you know, like put in, I don't know, add more money to whatever clubs or whatever that helps develop talents. Or maybe create like a nationwide league or something that's sponsored by the government or whatever it could be like you have in football. But, you know, you just got to take a few baby steps first.
I've been around the esports world now for over a decade, and I started making this documentary knowing that Denmark brought in big crowds to events. I knew that teams there like Astralis were some of the leaders in the evolution of esports, but seeing how it's growing for that next generation, which is so important, in the schools and the local projects has really given me an insight into what the future of esports in Denmark and the world could look like. And let's just say, if my daughters want to go pro, I'm on board. You've been listening to Denmark's Esport Revolution with me, OJ Borge. The producer was Sean Alsop. And this has been an Audio Always production for the BBC World Service.
Press freedom. The reasons why it's under increasing pressure.
How the mass use of drones has changed the way the war is being fought.
The trends behind the fast-changing media landscape.
The explanation from the BBC World Service takes a deep dive into the big stories affecting our lives, giving you an honest, unvarnished explanation of the world. Search for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.